Lord, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful day we've had the last few days. Lord, it's been awesome. Puts a smile on everybody's face and a skip in their walk when the sun shines and warm weather comes up. That sun shines in their face, Lord. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you continue this for a while. We had a whole lot of cloudy days and a whole lot of rainy days. It sure would be nice to have a whole lot of sunshiny days. Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing with the deep state and the factious people. Father, it looks like the tide is coming up. Looks like the Red Sea is fixing to take its toll. And Lord, we just praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you continue working in us to bring us into that place that you want us to be in the bride and also the man-child ministry, Father. Give us the faith to believe, Father. Give us the faith to believe, and we thank you for it. We praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do tonight. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing over in the Middle East, too, in those places that we know about, that the Christians, the true Christians are multiplying because of you, Father. We thank you for it. Lord, we just ask that you help us out tonight, guide us, lead us into what you want us to talk about. Help us out. Give us that wisdom. Give us faith when we pray for somebody to believe that it's going to take place, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for being our God. We love you, and we just want to be able to please you, Lord, in everything that we do. I know sometimes we mess up, but we get back on the road and just want to please you, Lord. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you for all you're going to accomplish tonight, Lord, in each one of us, in Jesus' name. Let your revelations come forth from your people. And we just praise you, Father, for all that you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. I want to we had a good friend of ours go to meet Jesus today, Marlon, this morning around 10 o'clock. Went peacefully to go see the Lord, and it's been an awesome day to we talked with Greg this morning, and they're all at peace, and we just praise God for that. That's what we prayed for. And so thank you, Lord, for getting Marlon out of all that pain. Man, he's up there now. He's with Kurt and Holly and the rest of the people up there just having a good time. Amen. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Or testimony or praise report? You know,
I got a quick one. You boys be quiet. I had a lady retire from my kitchen there, and after a year and a half, she came in. She's come in a few times, but she came in last week and wanted to go part-time and get a few hours here and there to pay off a couple of bills. And the whole time I've known her, we've encourage each other in the Lord. Basically, the only Christian that I've been able to speak freely with there at work for a while. And she came back Monday and just really blessed the kitchen. It's a testimony. I get to introduce her to people who haven't met her. And like today, I was introducing her to the security guard, and he was asking something. He tried to make a smart comment. I said, no, she's a double blessing, you know, because I had hired her twice. And it just really, just to get the culture and the language in a better place is helping, and the relieving the pressure, having somebody that knows what they're doing, you know, just little things. It's the Holy Spirit, you know, where two or more are gathered, He is there. So I'm expecting more and more of a footprint on the campus there. So I'm encouraged, and I'm encouraged to stretch my crew a little bit more to seek after blessings and the truth. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for blessing George and the lady too, and everybody else that they get, that they bless in Jesus' name. Okay. Anybody else? Go ahead, Ted.
I got a little testimony. It was kind of cool. Just a deal about God's timing on everything. Ann and Matt had got a new washer and dryer, and they had their old one. And trying to see if anybody in the fellowship wanted it, and there was no responses. So this morning I made arrangements to with Anna to get them picked up and take one down to the appliance place here in town because it needed work, and the dryer was fine. I'm just going to take it down to the Habitat store. But I checked in there with them this morning to see if they wanted it, and this gal lights up. She goes, "You got a dryer?" I go, "Yeah, would you like it?" She goes, "Oh, I just love a dryer." She said, "I haven't had one in 2 years. I've been wanting one so bad." And they talked it over and said, "Well, since I haven't brought it down yet, we can do what we want to do with it." And so it was just a real chance to give her a little blessing and mention, you know, it was God's timing and everything. And she was, you know, all on board with that. So it was really cool, just the way it worked out, that we were able to, Ann and Matt were able to bless this lady that, you know, almost a neighbor, but they didn't know her. But it was really neat. It was a testimony for all of us. So I just want to praise God for that.
Amen. Yeah, you told me that this morning. That's a blessing. God just has His timing in just about everything we do. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hi, Willie. Hi, Andrew. All right, Dave. There's Dave. Hi, Dave. Hey, Joe Britt. Okay. Anybody else got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
I don't have a prayer request. I just have a kind of a testimony and a thank you for everybody for praying for me Tuesday night, because I was definitely under the gun. And maybe I'll share a little bit later, as soon as I get my thoughts together, as to what was happening there. But I just want to let everybody know that the Lord broke that whole thing Tuesday night. I mean, I went right to bed. And I woke up at like 3 a.m. or something like that, and couldn't go back to sleep. And the Lord gave me a bunch of stuff. But He broke that like feeling of sickness, just completely took it out away. So I just praise the Lord. He, His word is great. I mean, he just meets you where you need. And the interesting thing about it is kind of what He showed me a little bit later that morning. But anyway, I'll leave that for a little later. But I just want to praise the Lord and thank Him for the healing of Tuesday night. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answers to prayer. Glad you got a good night's sleep. Amen. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
I was having problems with my computer, and So I was looking around on the line to see what I could buy, and I was trying to get something without Windows 10 on it. So, and I was looking and looking. So I was just about to buy one when some guy blessed me with his computer. It's a laptop, and I had a Toshiba with a 15-inch screen, and this guy named Michael blessed me with a Toshiba with a 17-inch screen. So I was blessed by that. So, but then I discovered I was trying to hook up. I do the CD ministry here at the ministry, and I was trying to hook up my printer, my CD printer. I got one that prints round stuff like for your CDs, and it wouldn't take it, and I couldn't figure it out. So Brandy, who's another guy, well, you guys, he's on the conference call sometimes. I called him up, and he said, well, bring it in in the morning, and I'll check it out. So we discovered that some of the drives were missing, so he got one of those installed, and I got it all working, and now I'm right back in full force. I got a good seat, a good laptop that works pretty good, and then I got all my CD equipment hooked back up, and I'm ready to go. So praise God for that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And thank you, Michael.
Yeah. You're welcome. You've been a blessing, so.
Well, thank you.
Praise God. Go ahead, Missy.
I wanted to, apologize for talking so much on Tuesday about the subject we were on, the oneness and the Trinity and the Lord convicted me that I shouldn't have said about what I did about the ministry I mentioned and the person I mentioned, and that wasn't my place. The Lord showed me that should have been a brother that should have said something like that, not me. So I just had to repent of that and ask y'all to forgive me. So.
Well, we forgive you. I'm sure nobody knew what you was talking about anyway. So except a couple of people.
I thought you were just giving us information. I didn't see anything strange, so.
Yeah, it was okay, Missy.
Just let you know.
Okay, well, I appreciate it.
Whenever you do talk about something most people aren't real familiar with, we're kind of trying to figure it out anyways, what's going on, because not being part of that environment, you'll say things we're not, we haven't really got an understanding of, so what you do share is beneficial,
Okay. I knew exactly what she's talking about, but that's okay. Praise the Lord. No, that's okay, Missy. Don't worry about that kind of stuff. We weren't paying any attention to you anyway. I'm just kidding.
I know you are. Okay. Bless you.
I'll personally say I've never been around anybody that's oneness that I'm aware of. So when I heard about it was when David said it on his teachings. I knew nothing about it. So.
Oh, you didn't know much about oneness?
I never heard of it until David mentioned it. That's, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
I thought everybody was a Trinitarian and our Jehovah's Witness,
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of oneness down here. UPC is a oneness church. Apostolic churches are oneness churches. A lot of those, most of those are oneness churches. Probably the biggest one is UPC, United Pentecostal.
Well, if I can say something here quick.
What was the name of that one, Missy? You were talking about Living Streams or something? What? I'm sorry.
Living Stream Ministry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I was somehow, I think it was from Operation Disclosure website. I was looking, I happened to see a link there talking about pedophilia and relating to Jehovah's Witnesses, and apparently that's been a big thing. And through reading that and going to another article or some, I don't know, I thought, I just kind of read, like, it was kind of basically a general history of Jehovah's Witnesses. And I was like shocked. And I asked Merle if he knew this. The Jehovah's Witnesses started in the Pittsburgh area here. I was like, wow. And he knew that. I never knew that. I asked him if he knew, and he said, yeah, he knew that. That blew me away. There's a lot of stuff that started around here.
Is there a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses up there?
There must be. I mean, I'm sure we've had people come to our door at least a couple times since I've lived here, but I don't know how big it is in the area really, but I know there's ones here, but apparently it's centered and now out of New York. That's where the headquarters are, I guess you could say.
But the Watchtower, is that where the Watchtower is?
I think that's what somebody was saying.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know a whole lot about them. I know one time I was out evangelizing door to door, and I ran across a couple of ladies that were Jehovah's Witnesses out there. And we got to talking. I said, won't you let me pray for you? And she took off. She turned around and just started running. I said, oh, my goodness. I said, let me pray for you. And I tried to reach over and touch her, and she just turned around and took off. They don't want you touching them, you know, laying your hands on them. They're scared they're going to get a demon or something, not knowing that they're already full of demons.
Yeah.
There's some good people in there. They just misguided. God's going to bring them, a lot of them out of there, hopefully.
Yep.
Okay. Anybody in? Hey, Denny, was you ever a Jehovah's Witness? Okay. Praise God. Was anybody ever involved in that religion? No. Yeah, Leo.
I was not involved with the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I went to church with a couple that had come out of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So they explained a lot of that stuff to me. That was probably 25 years ago. It was interesting that they come out. Anyway, they spent their time refuting it, you know, every chance they got. So I had another guy that went to church with me, and he said, are you a Jehovah's Witness? I said, well, if you're talking about the cult, no, but I am a witness of Jehovah, but I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. So he couldn't understand that. I said, okay, well.
Go ahead, Debbie.
I have a prayer request. Victor just told us a little while ago, you know, she's pregnant. It's due April 29th by C-section. And she just found out today that they're telling her she has preeclampsia. So she may have preeclampsia. So she started talking about the stuff, and we just talked to her about not cursing herself. I didn't say those words, but we shared that with her and about the book we'd sent. We'd given her the book, Tongue Conquers the Curse, and Denny talked to her about Deuteronomy 20 and 29, and so she's reading some stuff. But so I want to pray that she will not claim that, and that she'll trust the Lord that she won't even have it, yes.
Amen. Father, thank you, Father. We just lift up victory to you, Father. We stand in the gap for her, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just we refuse that the thought of all that.
Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we have victory as health and healing. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we just, that's what we're receiving by faith, and we thank you for it, God. Thank you now, Father.
Amen. Lord, we just put our faith together with Debbie and Denny, and we just believe that victory is here. She doesn't have to worry about that anymore.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. That she's going to take that and run with it in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Praise you, Father. And even when she understands about it, Lord, she's going to start putting everything into
thank you, Lord.
Taking it all to you, Lord, and we thank you for it.
Yes, God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, I probably got some excitement happening about 6 miles from here right now. President Trump's in town.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in Grand Rapids where I'm at.
That, just call him, tell him to come on over. Join the conference call.
Well, I think he's got his own little conference going, so.
Oh, yeah? What's going on?
He's in Van Andel Institute. It's an arena. It's got about 34,000 people in it, 25,000 outside.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's just there for MAGA.
Yep.
MAGA.
Yep. Yep. He's giving his thing, you know, talking his talk. So
yeah.
I was watching a little bit of it on YouTube before I got on, so.
Oh, yeah? Is that streaming it live?
Yeah. He's entertaining.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, but he's truthful.
Yeah. He, I think he tries to be straight up as possible. So.
Yeah. Amen. Well, Lord, we thank you for your protection upon him and his family and the people that are with him, Lord, and all the people there, that there won't be any kind of a problem there, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon that crowd, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. There's going to be some interesting things that's going to happen in the next few days regarding Trump and that bunch up there. It's been against him. I think we're going to see some exposure, to say the least, up there. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, first of all, before I say what I wanted to say, what's MAGA stand for? I forget.
Make America Great Again.
Oh, geez, yeah, duh.
For all of you that have fallen asleep over the last few months, it's Make America Great Again.
There's so many, acronyms floating around, you know, lately. I can't keep track of them all. I get them all messed up. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you, Michael, it's good to see that you're healed of jaundice.
Well, I appreciate that. I got a little sun that I ain't got my color back. It's wonderful what a little move will do, won't it? Isn't it?
Well, okay, you and I have another question. Because I'm sorry, I got to ask this because I have not been watching news and looking at it on the internet and stuff. I only get pieces here and there because the Lord, I know I need to stay away from it because it just.
Yeah.
gives me anxiety. But so I'm going to ask, you said some things are going to be happening here soon. So could you like inform us and we could pray about it?
No. Question. Well, he announced, Trump announced, I believe it was yesterday, with Sean Hannity. He had an interview with him over the phone. And he said he's fixing to declassify the FISA report, which means they're going to tell all. It's going to tell all who bought that Hillary and the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, bought the Steele dossier that started the Mueller investigation. And now we know that it was all bought and paid for by Hillary and the Democratic National Committee and Comey, Susan Rice, there's a whole, all the upper.
Brennan Clapper.
Yeah, Brennan Clapper and Obama. What's that? What was the Attorney General's name?
Lynch.
Loretta Lynch. Yeah, Loretta Lynch. And all of those people are, what is it Jeremiah Wright used to say? All of roosters are coming home. I forget.
Anyway. All the chickens are coming home to roost.
Yeah, there you go. All the chickens are coming home to roost. What you've sown is what you're fixing to reap. They've sown discord and lies and slander. And now they're fixing to. Gitmo's going to be filled up. Let me just put it that way.
I think we can pray that and there's no hindrance in this process.
Right.
Amen.
Is that kind of like a preliminary thing to like the whole sealed indictments and people being arrested for that and everything too?
It could be. I'm not going to say that all the 80 something thousand sealed indictments will be open. I think a lot of them were just using those over people to try to control them. But there's a lot of them going to be opened up and brought to trial, according to what I've seen. They're going to a lot of them in the top echelons will be at military tribunals, which is different than a court, than a regular civil courtroom. When you work for the U.S. government and you do certain things, military tribunal, they can put you under that. And you don't have much recourse.
Basically treason.
Yeah.
Sedition.
Sedition, treason, whatever else they can put on there, you know. And it's pretty down to, I mean, they've all got it documented. I mean, there's not much they can do. That's why they've been raising so much cash. Adam Schiff, Chuck Schumer, Pelosi, all of them. Maxine Waters. I just think of those that's been yelling the loudest. That's the ones that are the most guilty.
We don't want to keep talking about it, but Lindsey Graham was talking about how he wants to have the Attorney General Barr start another special counsel, and this time investigate the FISA warrants and everybody behind it, how this all got circulated, everybody's had their fingers on it, find out where it started, and then what time and who, what they did with it, and how it all got to where it is, who's leaked it to the press, the leakers that were leaking stuff during the time of the intelligence reports, you know, when all this has been going on for the last couple of years. He wants to have that all investigated first, out there, and any criminality, you know, brought up. And Nunes does too. Nunes does too. But and then they want to release everything as far as out in the open for everybody to see. But they want to have that go out first and get the get all that information before they release the what the Mueller findings, because the Mueller findings was just investigating Trump to make sure he had any collusion or any kind of anything that going on with his campaign had anything to do with the Russian influence. Now they want the rest of that investigated, how that even got there, so that all that information can be out at one time and not just show a certain section that was investigated. They want everything out, be shown at one time. That's what Lindsey Graham was talking about.
You know, the Democratic, I'm just going to say this and then we need to move on, but the Democratic Party leaders are calling for this Mueller report to be sent to them so that they can try to figure out how Trump colluded, you know, in with the Russians and that thing. What they don't understand is there's a lot of finger pointing to the Democratic Party in that report, from what I understand, and that it's going to bring to light their shenanigans. And so I don't know if that's the truth, but I've read that in a couple of people's opinions or whatever.
I think it'll open things up, but it isn't investigated far enough, where that's where they want this other special counsel to come in and start investigating the rest of that that Mueller didn't go after, because that wasn't what he was focusing on.
Well, Huber's been doing that, hasn't he?
Who?
Huber. That's the one Sessions hired way back when. They hired Huber to go in there, and that's where all the indictments came from.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see.
What's he called? Inspector General or something?
Yeah, Horowitz.
No, I'm talking about Huber. This is a guy out in Utah.
I heard there was somebody appointed, and then you don't hear nothing about it.
Yeah, that's Huber. But he's got it well in hand, I understand. Anyway, we'll find out here shortly, it looks like. What?
Can we pray about all this, you know?
Yeah.
We need to pray that Deep State doesn't, you know, start doing some stuff to derail the country.
They just got a warning over in West Virginia. They had to shut down 16 miles of Interstate 68 because of a bio bomb that happened over there that they found out about by stopping this guy for speeding and found out whatever information they got out of him. And then they shut that 16 miles off to locate the bomb, bio bomb. This is in West Virginia, and that looks like a deep state attempt. Yeah, Joe.
So it was biological, because I heard it was like just a regular bomb. I read an article today about that.
No, it may have been, but I heard it was bio bomb.
Okay, huh. Whoa. All right.
I don't know. I'm just saying what I read, you know. They may be putting it out that it was a regular bomb, but the first initial thing, they said it was a bio bomb.
Yeah, they were suspecting a possibility of it, so they had to take all precautions, something like that.
Yeah. So, yeah, we can pray about it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just ask that you expose this deep state cabal attempts to try something against God's, the American people. And Father, I know that they want to turn loose pestilence, and I know you told us not to pray against it. We just pray, Lord, that all of your chosen go through it, Lord, that they understand their position and their authority in you, Lord. And I thank you for that. And I praise you, Father, for minimizing as much as you can the threat of this deep state attacks that they're planning on, you know, they're backed up against the wall, and they're going to try something. And Father, we just ask that you minimize whatever it is. I know that things are going to happen because you're ordained it. So we just ask that you minimize whatever it is that has to happen, but that your chosen would make it through it, Lord. And we just pray for every one of them, your protection upon every one of your chosen, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for either moving them in up to a place of safety or providing them with a safe cover in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Go ahead.
Yeah, Lord, we know that we have a very vicious enemy out there that wants to kill Christians and kill innocent people for their own vile purposes of having control and power. Lord, we know that time will come when they do have those days and they're at their hand. But for now, Lord, we ask that you give us this protection and peace, and you expose everything that needs to be exposed to save as many lives as possible, that we can see your blessing in your hand to do good for us and not allow evil to overcome us and not allow evil habits day before its time. And so we can start bringing more people in the kingdom that realize this is what they're up against before it just kind of pounces on them. So, Lord, we're asking for your favor in this. And we're asking for your grace and for your understanding, and let us know, Lord, give us advanced knowledge and understanding. We're going to ask for it, and we're going to believe for these things because we know that you love us and you care for us, and you're going to be our Jehovah Jireh. You're also going to be our protector. You're going to fight our fight. You're going to be our protector. You're going to be our shield and our buckler. So, Lord, we're looking on you, depending upon you for all these things, and we know that you'll provide those things. So thank you, Father, for hearing our prayer on these matters. We just trust in you. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yeah, go ahead, Pat.
Father, we thank you, Lord, for your graciousness to us, Lord. We thank you that your goodness extends to the uttermost parts of the earth, Lord. We thank you for what you are doing and bringing all these things to pass in our lives. You're funneling this world down to a specific direction, down to the end times here, where you can have your way in the world and bring many people. Lord, as looking in your word, Psalm 76:10 says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise you, and the remainder of wrath you shall restrain." And so, Lord, we stand with you in your word. We thank you that you are bringing about a condition and an environment here where that there will be a wrath of man will strike out and try to destroy, but you will certainly use that for the benefit of the kingdom of God, but you will restrain what is where it needs to be restrained so that it will not overtake. Lord, you use these circumstances in our life to urge us and to bring us into certain places in your spirit. And we thank you for preparing a place for many people to come, Lord, many people to enter in through the fear of the Lord and repentance and crying out to you. Those that call upon the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved, Lord. And we just thank you for preparing that environment, Lord, not only in the world, but Lord, in the church, in the organized church out there today. Lord, we bind those spirits that would control and dominate the people, your children that are in those places. Lord, we bind those spirits that would try to destroy your people. We ask you, Lord, to have mercy and open up the eyes of your chosen, your called, that they might hear your words, hear your voice, and turn from their wicked ways and enter into your truth, listening to you, shunning the words of man and absorbing your words and place them in their heart, Lord. Just grant them grace to call out upon you. Lord, grant us grace as well, Lord, that we might listen to your word, we might listen to your guidance, we might walk in the ways that you've shown us here, and that we might have grace and faith and strength to guide others into that same path. And we thank you for, Lord, just to turn our hearts towards you. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, Lord, you want to cast out these unclean spirits in the name of Jesus. Now that truth is starting to come out, maybe some people can have their eyes open. Lord, we cast the unclean spirits are binding these people in the false realm of this political system and religious system that's been hovering over the United States for many years. Lord, let people start coming out from underneath these unclean spirits. Lord, we bind them now. What we can bind that you see fit that needs to be thrown out, Lord. Your judgment on this, we just cast it out by using our words. You see fit to use your spirit to go forth and do what needs to be done with the people you've chosen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. That includes South Africa, too.
Amen. Don't forget Canada.
Father, I thank you that you are preparing the whole world for the truth and the exposure of how evil has reigned, and how these families that worship Baphomet and they raise their boys to be girls and their girls to be boys, and they place them in prominence, and they mock you, and they mock the natural order of how you've meant things to be. Father, I thank you that it's all coming to a head, and that your word says in Psalm 58:10, the righteous shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that men shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, there is a God that judgeth in the earth. Father, your witnesses in Africa that are being wiped out village by village, your persecuted saints all over the world, Lord, we thank you that when we pray in tongues that we are providing relief in the spirit, and that your Holy Spirit is giving them comfort, that you're a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows, that you are pouring out your spirit of comfort. The Comforter is being poured out on all flesh. Father, I thank you for the wonderful miracles, signs, everything that you're doing that is leading people to you, that is showing light in the darkness. Father, I thank you once again for exposing evil and for preparing minds to be able to realize just how deep the evil has been and how justice is needed, and that there won't be any flinching when it comes to delivering justice to the ones that need it, and for cleaning up the path for all the things that you have in these end times, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for the seriousness of everyone who walks in the Spirit to complete the path and walk on the path that you've called us to walk in. And Father, that we would not miss any good thing that you have for us. And we thank you that we consider the poor, that in times of wrath, even our seed would be taken care of. Thank you for the many blessings that cover us and our families beyond what we can even imagine. Your goodness is flooding our lives. And we just thank you, Lord, for taking such good care of us and our families and loved ones and making us a sanctifying influence. And we thank you for choosing us and loving us first. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We believe with joy. Thank you, Father. That's something, he hit on something there that we all need to be doing. And I'm sure you are. It's just playing in tongues for this nation and God's chosen. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. We were going to talk about the Trinity tonight. I know everybody here studied diligently and hard about that and learned everything they could about why the Trinity is not applicable in God's Word. Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, before we get into that, really, I wanted to ask a question on 2 John, but when we talk about the, who were we talking about a little while ago, the Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah.
So in 1 John 2, I'm going to read 7 to 11. Many okay. deceivers, 2 John 2, 7, 11. Okay.
Give me a little bit to get there.
Okay.
What did you say?
2 John 2, 7 to 11. I just thought you need to cover, read all that.
2 John doesn't have a 2.
Well, I mean 2 John, sorry. 2 John, I'm looking at the 2 in 2 John. 2 John, 7 to 11.
Yeah, I thought my Bible was wrong.
I got cheated too. I was like, where's my chapter at?
Go ahead. Right.
Okay, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as among the flesh, as coming in the flesh, have gone out into the world. Any such person is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch out that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your homes or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him there, shares in his wicked work. So my question was about people who allow them into their homes to witness with them and try to share them scriptures, and sometimes they may be a little bit bantering, maybe even back and forth, and that even shouldn't happen. But it says not to welcome them into your homes if they do not, if they come with any teaching other than what they preach, what the Bible preaches. So should we not welcome them into our homes, or?
If you have a chance to speak truth to them, and you believe that they will listen, I would think so.
Does anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked things?
You're not necessarily welcome.
Well, when you know the truth and you want to impart that to them, you're welcoming them to come in to listen to the truth. So I think I know where you're going with this. You're talking about family members?
Anyone, just because it says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house or welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked work. So that's just what the word says. I'm just wondering if we are to not do that then.
Okay, Dave.
You know, have you ever been, toe-to-toe with a Jehovah's Witness when they want to bring their you know, message to you. I have, not that other people have it here, but you know, they're ready for an argument.
Yes.
They're usually very confrontational. They want to, and maybe they'll say, well, we'll come back and talk about this, because they'll go back and talk to their elders or whatever they want. And they'll get more, you know, fired up what they want to teach. So, you know, unless you're entirely comfortable with that environment, no, I wouldn't invite it in your house.
It's a spirit.
I had a conversation with them on my porches and stuff. I basically end up saying, you know, we're not going to agree on some things here. Well, and they want to be my friend. I said, well, you can be my friend, but there's some things we're just not going to agree on. Doesn't mean we're going to be enemies. But, you know, you got to be careful. You know, unless you're ready for that battle, you know, it's a spiritual one.
Yes,
they really come at you pretty hard. So
mm-hmm.
if that's your ministry, fine, but I'd be careful. That's all.
I've always ignored him.
if you're talking about, you know, a cult, absolutely not. But here's what I do with them, y'all. When they come, if they come to my door, they quit coming to mine years ago, but anyway, they come to my door. And I, before we do anything, we're going to pray. Jehovah's Witnesses won't pray with you. They won't pray with you. No, just tell them and start in. And yeah. We start binding up those religious spirits.
Yeah.
And then if they want to stay and listen, that'd be good.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, that's enough of them to hear something, just that.
Yeah, it scares the living daylights out of them. The when you mention the Holy Ghost, they take off running. I'm serious. I've seen that happen. Yeah, Jill.
Wow.
Do you know why they're so hesitant to want to pray? Or is that just your own experience from what you saw? I mean, or have you found out why that is?
Their doctrine, they won't allow anybody that they don't know to lay hands on them because they're scared they'll impart something to them.
They already think you're worshiping Satan.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
So that's what they're thinking. You're satanic. You're not. You're Jehovah Witnesses. You're not.
First time. If you ask what you do, Debbie, I'm talking to you and everybody else too. And when they come up to your door, try to grab her hands and look, let's pray before we ever start doing anything. And they're ready to go home most of the time. I've never seen one stay when I wanted to pray.
Years ago in Portland, we had a Jehovah's Witness guy, very nice guy, coming to our home. Every week, and he was going through all this stuff. And while this was going on, I got a hold of a little booklet of somebody who had studied Jehovah's Witnesses teachings. I think it was from Australia, but a very thorough study. And what he did is he put together a complete line of study using their own Bible, using their own key texts that they used to prove their main text, their proof text to prove their points about, you know, that Jesus wasn't God and all these things. But what this guy did was he took these texts and he proved step by step that Jesus was actually God from the Old Testament and New Testament. But it was all their key text, and so they knew all the texts. So finally I said, hey, you know, I've been listening to you. We've been listening, you know, going through these studies for several weeks now. And would you mind if I just go through this series of Bible texts and talk about, you know, these things we've been discussing? So I went through everything and he listened, and we finally got through the whole thing. And I could tell there was tremendous turmoil going on. And he finally said, do you have an Alka-Seltzer or something? I'm having a lot of stomach problem right now. And he was in visible pain, And anyway, he left. And the next week, he came back with a highfalutin elder of some kind. And that was the last we saw of him. But I felt, you know, I felt bad about that. I don't know that we need to do that, to, you know, to put somebody in their place and get them corrected on doctrine, because that's, I don't think that's God's way necessarily. But I wonder how he...
Yeah, he did correct doctrine then.
I wonder how he, this gentleman, he was the sweetest person, really. And I just wonder if, you know, we might have sowed a seed there for him to think about, because it was so unequivocal, and it was all the verses that he knew, and it's from his own Bible. So it's just undisputable. I mean, you just no way around it that Jesus is God, because, you know, they teach that he isn't. So
what happened when the elder came with it?
Well, I mean, it didn't really go anywhere. I mean, there's nothing he could really say to dispute that either. And that was the end of that. I think they realized they couldn't get anywhere after that. The elder probably just advised him not to come back. But, you know, some of these folks, I really believe, even though they're out there, they've been convinced they need to get there out there and knock on doors and do evangelism and whatnot. I think some of these people really want to know, you know, and this particular person, I think, was a little bit open. Anyway, pray for these people, you know. Not everybody's hard line.
Yeah.
I think you did good.
By the way, I have that study still. I just ran into it recently. It's but it's a whole series of things for talking with Jehovah's Witnesses.
What's the name of it? Remember?
No, I just saw it though about a week ago. So we're in the process of kind of moving things around the house, and I know where it is. But this guy has been very successful because he studied very deeply into, you know, what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, and it's really helped, I think, a lot of people come around. So it's interesting, because there are a number of groups that came out of the whole Millerite movement of the 1840s, late 30s, 1830s and 40s. And what's interesting is a little before that time, there was a Freemason who apparently either disclosed or came out, wrote a book or something about into the open about what the Freemasons believe and whatnot, what their plans are. He was one of the really, really high Freemasons that was very knowledgeable. And one of the things he said was that the populace is not, I'm just paraphrasing. The populace, the general public is not, they cannot handle the truth. And kind of implying that we can handle the truth, but they can't. So what we need to do is present the truth with subtle little mistruths, untruths, so that they can handle what they're hearing. But basically, I think the big thrust during that time was to subvert what was going on with Charles Finney and some of the real McCoy stuff that was happening, and they were trying to combat the true gospel that was going out. And so if you look at William Miller, he was a 32nd at least degree Mason, Freemason, and what he was saying was that Jesus was going to come first in 1843 and then eventually in 1844. And but there's evidence that he never really renounced Freemasonry. There were a lot of Baptist, Methodist pastors at the time that started saying, you know, hey, this guy is a Freemason and he's still a member of the lodge, and he's here, he is saying all this stuff, and, you know, what is the bulk of Christianity doing listening to him? because, you know, they charter whole trains just to go hear his meetings. They were talking hundreds of thousands of people. So very, very popular. And at one point, if you look at Charles Finney's book, he went, and I've already talked about this before in this call, but Charles Finney talks about going and talking to him in his hotel room, William Miller, and just saying, you know, you're teaching stuff that's going to lead people astray. And it, you know, this is fanatical. It's, you know, it, you know, there needs to be some changes. And William Miller would not listen to him. So I there's evidence that these folks that came out of the William Miller's movement, there's a small group of people that came out of that, you know, most people, once 1844, the fall of 1844 passed, Jesus didn't come. There was just a handful of people that still held on to that something happened in 1844. But for the most part, people just kind of gave up, and a lot of people just turned from the Lord. You know, a lot of, you know, typical reactions to, you know, something not coming to pass that they had hoped for. But there was a small group that started, you know, meeting and trying to recoup and figure out what was going on. And they were, for the most part, they were shouting Methodists, and they get really carried away in their meetings. And they found court documents on the Israel Damien trial in 1845 in February. You read the testimony in this trial. It was wild. It was like a Pentecostal meeting, you know, a little bit beyond that even. Some of the records of it were people, you know, well, so-and-so was, he was the strongest in the lungs. It's like, what are these guys doing, screaming to the top of their lungs? But from that group, there were people, kind of some of the leaders kind of, that were going around trying to encourage others to keep believing in what happened in 1844 and hold on to, that Jesus was going to come right away. And there were two men that these circuit riders came around. They found these two men that had been through the Millerite movement, but they had just gotten really discouraged and everything. So they encouraged them, you know, to hold, keep the faith, hold on. Those two guys were the ones that developed the Jehovah's Witnesses, and everything came from them. They're very dogmatic, very dictatorial. Everybody had to, you know, buy into, you know, very, very, you know, whatever I believe is it. And that's how the Watchman Society developed out of that group, those two guys. So, it, you know, it's a sad story, but there's several groups that came out of that. Some of the Adventists, Jehovah's Witnesses, of course, they believe very, very differently from each other, but still. Just interesting history.
Which
and a lot of that was simply to try to minimize the effect of what Charles Finney, you know, the true revivals that were going on just before that time.
Which one of those guys died that still has like a Freemasonry kind of symbolism on his gravestone? One of those leaders. A lot of them seem
you know, a lot of those people had that on their, not only on the gravestone, but in their funeral proceedings, their funeral, you know, the little paper that was passed out at their funeral. They had the Masonic symbol on the back. I mean, the clues are all, and if you look at their hand signals, great Scott, these guys are doing all those Masonic hand symbols in public photographs that are publicly posted. I mean, they're on websites and stuff. You know, if you don't, I don't know. I just pray the Lord exposes all this. I don't want to use a bad word, all this stuff.
So these guys really are Freemasons, probably still somehow associated with them, I would think. These are religions maybe Freemasons are behind?
I don't know if they consciously know still some of the leaders, but I'm convinced a lot of the early leaders were almost all Freemasons. If you look at their hand signals in the photographs, I think I don't know, but I can't prove this, but I'm suspicious that a lot of these organizations were developed for the sole purpose of diluting and undoing the gospel. Because they present stuff that sounds logical. You can prove it, of course, anything with proof texting, but it sounds logical, people buy into it, but you know, it gets cultic and you know, God deliver us from this stuff. I mean, these organizations are still strong.
Malcolm, I've always understood that Charles Russell Taze is the one that started the Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, he was one of them. There are two guys.
Yeah, him and another guy. I forget his
name. Yeah.
Hodlin or something.
But, you know, when they talked to them, they were really kind of hard-line dogmatic, and they just stayed that way. The people they gathered around them, they just, you know, somehow they got disciples.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm going to start.
But they're just dogmatic people. I mean, look at Joseph Smith 100 years earlier or whatever. I mean, he was, these guys were creepy stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was going to say, add on what you said there, Malcolm. I mean, yeah, all those leaders of these cults were Freemasons. Just like Joseph Smith, he was a Mason. I watched the documentary from a former member, and, you know, he got as far as the, over in Utah, Salt Lake City, I believe, they have that huge temple, and it's like a high honor for any Mormon to visit this temple, you know, and I mean, perform the ceremonies. This guy said it's the same exact process. I mean, you know, ceremony, everything as free, you know, Masonry.
And, well, you know, I think there's some of these these denominations, there's a considerable distance between what they teach and what Freemasonry is. I think there's a tremendous amount of symbolism in the Mormon organization with Freemasonry, and Jehovah's Witnesses have some pretty strong kind of allusions or connections. Some of the others are, I don't think, have much of anything or very little Freemasonry teaching, but the whole idea of Freemasonry is to introduce garbage into the gospel and dilute it. And so it doesn't matter if they're Freemasons, or even if the people currently running those organizations are Freemasons. What matters is it's diluted, it's corrupted, and it's going to prevent somebody from actually being able to follow the Lord fully. I'm not saying, you know, some of these folks won't be entering heaven. They're, you know, you know, people that sincerely want to follow the Lord, they have never heard anything else. They understand this is to be the truth. They die trusting in the Lord. But they're certainly bound up and can't minister to others in the way the Lord has ordained. You know, they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They can't operate in the gifts. It's just a very hobbled situation, and the Lord doesn't want that. And that was the whole point of what the Freemasons were trying to achieve, is dilute it, make it ineffective. And it's just super sad, you know.
Yeah.
I was getting really upset today. I was just thinking, Lord, just expose this stuff. I was listening recently to some of this garbage, you know, listening to people read it, and I almost exploded. I almost said, come on. What does Hebrews teach? Hello? Read the Bible for once. Anyway.
Well, actually, I've got one other question for you there, Malcolm. I mean, you know, it seems like you've studied the JWs quite a bit there. Do you remember, well, because I know there was a lady by the name who was, I guess, friends with all these individuals of these cults, Madame Blavatsky. She founded what I guess is called like the Theosophy.
I've heard of it.
It's a practice of the occult. Do you remember if William Miller or Charles Taze Russell was a friend of hers? You know, I think I
remember
watching a documentary about that.
I don't think William Miller had, I'm not aware of any of his connections with people. I know that even after he was having these evangelistic meetings talking about Jesus coming, by the way, he was converted from deism. I mean, he kind of held on to deism a bit, but that was his, he was heavy duty into deism as a lot of, I mean, Thomas Jefferson, a lot of the country founders mm-hmm. were into that. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, when he was having the Freemasonry, he was a deist and, but anyway, the story is he became converted and was convinced that the Bible was true. And then started studying Daniel and Revelation, started coming to the conclusion that Jesus was going to come right away. So, I mean, it's a wonderful story. It's just that the evidence is that the fact is he didn't renounce his Freemasonry until he came under tremendous pressure from the Methodists and Baptists and other pastors of the time that were saying, hey, this guy's a Freemason. What are we listening to him for? Because he was very radical talking about Jesus coming. So it was a very polarizing message, and there was tremendous opposition against what he was saying and against the people that were listening to him and expounding or buying into what he was saying. I mean, there's so much you can learn from history and from that, you know.
I mean.
So much you can learn from that. Those situations, the way people reacted, the tremendous persecution that came against them, and
well, let's talk.
The way the media, they had these cartoons of William Miller just totally making fun of him.
Yeah, maybe we ought to get back on the Trinity. What you think? Just saying.
Yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses, when they presented the Trinity to us, they show this kind of a frog with three heads.
And, oh, really?
You know, make the Trinity look like a terrible animal, you know.
Yeah. What is the basis of the Trinity? What is the thing that the Trinity base itself on? Anybody have time of that? There's three persons in the Godhead, right? That's what they believe. They believe they're co-equal, co-eternal, and coexistence. You've heard that probably many times. Yeah, Dave.
I'm kind of curious, if I show hands, how many people were brought under a Trinity doctrine in their churches? Mm-hmm. So majority of us here have had Trinity teaching or understanding. Joe, did you raise your hand, Joe South Africa? No? Okay.
You know, I was raised in a non-denominational church. Well, David says it's non-denominational is denominational, but Bible church and things like that. But I have to say, I never believed the Trinity. I never believed the Trinity and the rapture. And I didn't know why I didn't. I just didn't believe it. When I was young, I just didn't believe it. Whenever it was talked about around me or I heard, I just looked the other way because I just didn't believe it, you know. So I just thank the Lord for that. Whenever it was a struggle with me, I just don't know why I didn't believe it. But one day in my 20s, I was in the car and I was asked, I was something on the radio. And I said, I just don't believe this, Lord. Why is that? I don't believe this. And it came to me that everyone believes it because everyone believes it. And then I've told that to Denny, so he knows. And I heard David say that. We were listening to him in our house in Illinois. And when he said that, I thought, that's right, it's true. Most people believe it. If it's not, how does that go again? It's not of God. Most people believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Most people believe it. It's not of God. So I thought, yeah, that's why. I know, but I think that's just the Lord. It's not, you know, me. I know the Lord blessed me with that, just to not believe it. To believe the Trinity or the rapture, so because everyone believed it, so
yeah,
just to me, deep down, there was just something in that. Why is everyone believing this? Every kind of denomination is believing, no one's getting away, straying away from it. Everyone believes it, every denomination believes it.
So. Nobody questions it, you know,
yeah.
Why? Because they come against them so hard,
yeah,
they come against them. That's heretical. Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. When I was growing up, I had to go through a Lutheran school for a few years because I lived in a rough neighborhood. And, of course, you got indoctrinated really well with Trinity doctrine. But I remember the pastor saying, you'll never understand the Trinity. You'll never be able to comprehend it. Just accept it.
Yeah, I've heard that myself.
And it's like, that didn't seem, you know, you hear that and you're thinking, wow, you'll never understand this. You just accept it. It just didn't seem like there's something there. It just not settled, you know. But you accept it because everybody else does, so you do. You think, well, I guess that must be the truth. You know, I guess that's how God is, even though we can't understand it, how you can have three persons and one God, but
yeah,
you know, they're all co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. I mean, that don't make sense, but.
I felt the same way. I thought, I'm not to understand it, then, but they want me to believe something I can't understand. It didn't make sense to me either. Yeah.
Okay, Missy, go ahead.
Well, what came to me is the Apostles' Creed talks about that. And I was looking, I never knew it by verbatim or anything like that, just only bits and pieces of it, what I recognize or whatever. But I looked it up, and on Wikipedia it says, the English language liturgical consultation is an international ecumenical group. Does that surprise you? No. whose primary purpose is to provide ecumenically accepted texts for those who use English in their liturgy. Anyway, that word ecumenical just says it all, you know. But
most of them belong to the World Council of Churches. I guess they still do. I guess they're still in existence.
Missy, explain ecumenical.
Well, you got to be able to spell it first, Missy.
Okay. It's right down here. Basically, ecumenical is just, well, that's like Chrislam. That everybody just come together. And just accept everybody and nobody come against anybody, you know, you accept everybody, you know, I mean, you accept everybody's doctrine but you don't come against each other. And it's trying to bring everybody together and into agreement, basically, you know, just agree to get along.
That sounds like oneness.
Well,
no, no. It's world religion.
But
can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I've been saying some things and nobody's listening. Mm-hmm. No, not now, Miss. You go ahead.
Oh, but anyway. But it's the Apostles' Creed pretty much is like a Christian ecumenical bringing together, you know, everybody just, and I think it probably comes in Wikipedia, in the beginning here, it says about, the Apostles' Creed is Trinitarian in structure with sections affirming belief in God, the Father, Jesus, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Apostles' Creed was based on Christian theological understanding of the canonical gospels, the letters of the New Testament, and to a lesser extent, the Old Testament. Its basis appears to be the Old Roman Creed, known as the Old Roman Symbol. Well, basically, I think a lot of it just comes right out of Catholicism, but anyway, Well, yeah, it mentions the Catholic Church here, but anyway.
Nicolaitan.
Yeah. Ever.
Let's do this. Somebody give me a verse, that refutes the Trinitarian view. Okay, let's do this. Let's take these one co-equal. Anybody got a verse on that, against that? Yeah, Joe.
I brought it up Tuesday, Matthew 24:36. I guess if God and Jesus were co-equal, or maybe this is how I'm seeing it, you know, someone tell me if wrong or not, where, you know, it says no one knows, not even the angels, you know, but, I mean, you know, talking about Jesus' return, I believe. I guess if they were co-equal, wouldn't Jesus and the Father both know? I guess they're, you know, if they were both equal, you know, in position and all that stuff. So, I mean, that's my thought there. So
you said 24:6?
24:36.
Oh, 36. Okay.
Yeah. I guess the famous verse they love to use that, you know, a lot of those love to use, saying, well, you know, it's nobody knows when Jesus.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, wouldn't they be equal? Wouldn't they both know? You know, if they were equal?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's one. That's one witness. Yeah, Missy.
Well, I just, I was thinking about this for the Trinity, but it also really, it refutes the whole Jesus only oneness too. What about the Lord's Prayer? They said, how, you know, teach us to pray. And he said to pray our Father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that showed that he, you know, he never said to pray to me, did he? Jesus never said to pray to me. He said, you know, he never taught us to pray to him. But he says, whatever you ask in my name, you know.
Which is? His nature, character, and authority, right?
Right.
All of them have that. The Jesus and the Father. Amen. Let me get Malcolm first. He's had his hand up here quite a while. Let me get him. Go ahead, Malcolm. Malcolm. You must be talking, but you're muted.
Okay, now I'm unmuted. I had to unmute myself. I just wanted to bring up John 16. Everybody knows that. There's Jesus presents a good pecking order there.
John 16 what?
Well, I don't know the whole thing. I mean, John 14, 15, 16, yeah. 17, the way he's praying that we're to be one with the Father and with him, even so the Father and I are one in John 17, and we're to be one with Jesus, and therefore one with the Father also. But 16, he talks about the Comforter, and there's a pecking order there. And but Jesus is certainly the way he refers to the Father all through those, you know, those texts is he's subservient to the Father. That's not coexist. That's not co-equal at all. He was. In Hebrews, it talks about how, as a son, how he was, you know, suffered and learned as a son. So, I mean, it's just the relationship of Jesus was, of Jesus with the Father was as a son, and he suffered and learn these things as a son. So to say co-equal is just totally out of the question as far as that goes.
Amen. Go ahead, Leah.
And even the coexistent thing, I mean, that's, if he's begotten, that's I have a hard time with that. If he's begotten, how is he coexistent if he was begotten?
First of all, created, isn't he?
Yeah. You hear, I mean, we've all heard all the ridiculous arguments saying, well, begotten means this and it means that, and all the spin doctors out there.
Yeah.
I say hogwash. Just read the Bible.
Amen. All right. Leon, did you have something? Oh, okay. Julie, go ahead.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Julie, how you doing?
Great. God bless you. The scripture that was coming to my mind, well, one of them that was coming to my mind is in John chapter 20, after his resurrection, when Mary's at weeping outside the tomb, and it's in verse 17. Where he said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not ascended to the Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God," which means he's putting the perspective right there who God the Father is to him and who he is to us. You know, he's over, he's the highest. And that's how he saw his Father, as God and my Father.
Yep, that's a good one. Go ahead, Tim.
I was looking in Revelation before the meeting, and there's the first three chapters of Revelation, there's all kinds of references to saying that his God, and perfected before my God, and I will confess his name before my Father. I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. There's just, you read the first three chapters of Revelation, you can, you know, just discount the co-equal right there. That's a problem we're, you know, you're discussing earlier. I don't think those people that are accepting that are reading their Bible.
Amen. I don't read it for what it's worth. Let me get Wade here first. He's been waiting for a while. I'll come right back to you. Go ahead, Wade.
I was just going to read Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. I'm sure you have been over it, but "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son."
Amen. That's another good one. Okay. Go ahead, Julie.
I just wanted to make a reference to how Jesus said that he had been sent by his Father. And he instructed, I mean, he sent his disciples out and to do just as he has been taught, you know, as he's in, and he, how, can't remember where exactly where it is, but he says, you know, "I do all things that I see my Father do, and I speak only as I hear my Father speak." And he was all about glorifying the Father. And, you know, he learned obedience by everything that he, you know, he suffered, and he humbled himself from his, you know, humbled himself and gave up his deity, his majesty, his everything for the kingdom for a time. Just to show us how to do it. And it's just, yeah, there's no way that the Bible shows where they were at an equal relationship as far as the hierarchy. It's you know, in the beginning was God, and then God created all that there is.
Amen. Go ahead, Tim. Let me get Tim, Pat, and then I'll come back to you.
Just another quick thing in Revelation, in 2:8, and the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things saith the first and the last, who was dead and lived again." So God would have had to have died to be co-equal with our Lord, Jesus.
Amen. Go ahead, Pat.
When they, whoever it is that teaches that they are co-equal, what do they mean by co-equal. Because the scriptures that have been, that you're talking about, simply is pointing out the difference in role and relationship, but not necessarily equality. I'm not sure what are they teaching that equality means, I guess is the question.
Their teaching is that Jesus was not born, that he was always there. He's eternally always Jesus. And that, of course, the Father's the same way. And then the Holy Spirit is a person as well. And there's not a scripture in the Bible that talks about the Holy Spirit being a person. That, it's not there. Yeah, Joe.
Here's how it was always said to me. I remember as a Catholic and even as a Protestant at times. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So, you know, they believe they're co-equal. They're all God. That's basically the three they say. So, yeah, you know, as we know, it's not true. But that's their reasoning. And I guess they say when it's co-equal, all in the same position, all God. No differences from, I believe, I mean, if that sounds about right, Dave or Andrew, no differences, basically all on the same level. You know, the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus, you know, all equal. So, but then I'm starting to realize, well, wait a minute, you know, only the Holy Spirit is all, omnipresent. God or Jesus isn't, but, you know, yeah, they say, they just take out all those verses that just prove that wrong, but they say, you know, how I understood it, you know, at the time when I just blindly accepted it, you know, like those many other doctrines. I mean, I didn't look at the Bible or anything, you know, and just find out for myself, but basically they're all on the same position. You know, they're all equal. They're all basically at the top. So if that makes sense.
I guess what I was thinking is that, number one, I haven't studied it. So I'm probably coming from a certain amount of ignorance, but I always, I guess, perceived it as that they, let's say the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, are three different, say, representations of God, all functioning in a perfect unity in their specific roles and responsibilities. So in my mind, I guess I didn't have a question about that. I never really thought it through. But I guess I would have to know, what the downside of believing in that, say, three different roles or three different responsibilities all perfectly working as in a unified one God. So again, I've never thought about it before, but I guess I don't see the downside in that. But can anybody enlighten me?
Are you talking about the downside of believing in the Trinitarian view?
Well, see, I haven't studied it, so I don't know if I believe in the Trinitarian view. I have always believed in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit as, again, each one having a specific role in order to perform a role or a responsibility level, but all functioning as one in unity in God, you know, to be God, I guess you might say. So I haven't really thought about it. I never really studied the quote Trinitarian view to see the downside or whatever. So I guess I'm speaking more about from what I believe, but I'm not sure what what the Trinitarians believe or whatever.
They believe that there's three different persons. The God the Father is a person. Jesus, the Son of God, is the person. Now, that right there should take out co-equal. And then the Holy Spirit is a person.
Well, that's why I was asking, what do they mean by co-equal? Meaning that each one is the Father? Each one performs the role of the Father? Or do they mean co-equal in that they all are a part of what is God?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Nate.
Yeah, you just said right there, last one. They're going to take those three persons and it's going to be God. Period. One God, three persons, one God. So how you can wrap up three persons in one God becomes the confusion. They are saying there's three distinct persons, but there's only one God. But the scriptures say there's one God, that's the Father. From whom all. And then there is Jesus Christ, his Son, which is also God because he came from God. He was birthed from God. You can find that in Proverbs. Jesus kind of talks about it a little bit. So is the Father in creation.
But.
And also, go ahead. Do you want to say something?
Well, no, I'm going to let you say it.
I say also.
If you don't say it, I'll say it.
Also in John 17, I think it is, 16, 17, they'll talk about Jesus starts talking about his relationship with the Father. He came forth from the Father. Mm-hmm. But so
is he also said.
Go ahead.
He also said that my Father is greater than I.
Absolutely. And once he made that qualification.
That's not co-equal.
No.
Preach it.
He was also saying that he totally depended upon the Father for everything. Mm-hmm. Now, Trinitarians will try to say, well, he lowered himself when he came to earth, and of course he depended upon the Father for our example. The reality is that God, Jesus has always been alongside the Father, working with him, but he's never been
the one. Father said.
Huh?
Doing what the Father said.
Yeah, the Father is the one that is really where all things came from and all. Everything is from the Father. That's the one God. Now, we become as God and with God when God, you know, dwells in us. Even though we're not fully God like God the Father, we're considered to be God. Just like Jesus was considered to be God, because now you're becoming in that oneness of spirit with God through the Holy Spirit. We're taking on God's nature. We're taking on, we do his work. We're doing just like Jesus did. We're walking in the steps of Jesus.
So let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
If you are a person and I am a person,
yep,
and we are becoming into the image of God,
okay,
then wouldn't we be more than, you and I are more than one person. We're two persons, and we are coming into the same image of God, the same way Jesus taught us through discipleship, taking, being born of his word, etc.
What do we have in common, though? What's going to bring us together as one, make us in common?
Jesus!
Well, one more thing. The Holy Spirit.
Right.
That's what we all are held together. That's the glue. The image is Jesus. The glue is the Holy Spirit. It's God himself that's pulling us all together to be one because it's him, God in us. That's God. That's
in the name of Jesus in us.
Is an image.
Yes.
Jesus is the character, the stamp.
Understood.
He's got a spirit, and that's his spirit. That's his stamp. That's who he is. We're coming into that image. But what's going to make us and draw us an image and perfect us is the Holy Spirit. That's God. I'm not taking anything away from Jesus. He's fully God too. He's got, you know, he's the top. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is exactly everything. He is the firstborn of all creation. You know, that's, you can't get any farther up than that. But then there's God. And his God's spirit is what indwells in us also, that draws us together, is make us one. That's what the unity, that's the glue. That's the main glue. Without that, we're not going to be one in the kingdom. We might be, like Romans says, you can have Christ's spirit and there's God's spirit. Some don't have God's spirit. They have Christ's spirit, though. They haven't been born in the fullness of God. They haven't taken in the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. But they're still Christians. They have Christ's spirit. Somebody else can add to that if they want. Maybe
go ahead, Andrew.
Doesn't it say somewhere that we're to abide in Christ? And who does Christ abide in? So if Christ abides in the Father and we abide in Christ, isn't that sort of hierarchical? Like there's one at the very top. Who does God abide in? like it's a two-way street that God comes into Jesus and into us, but we're told to abide in Jesus and Jesus abides in the Father. So how can you get a Trinity out of that? And the Father is greater than I am is in John 14:29. And so it just says there, if ye loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I go unto the Father, because the Father is greater than I. So that's pretty self-explanatory right there. And it's just sometimes when you try to explain this to some people, you may not have all those verse chapter numbers and verse numbers in your head, but at least you know they're there, so you can quote them. And when they run into them when they're reading the Bible, they might question it. So
I see the way the Father and Jesus are is the way the Father wants to be with us in every way. But there is a hierarchy in the kingdom, and Jesus is on top.
Well, the thing that I would also add to that is if you're going to speak by this Spirit, would you speak this co-equal, coexistent, co-eternal? Because if you're going to speak by the Spirit of God, would that be correct? Because if it's the Word of God, is the Spirit of God, and it's His right. Life, then, you know, these people who say they believe in God, and then they come up with things like, well, you know, the government's coming up with some really weird things there about licensing fornication and stuff like that, and abortion and cannabis smoking, and you know, and they're all bragging about how much divorce is in the church, but they never think to go and look at the doctrinal stuff, you know. So in effect, you know, are these people in charge teaching the people in charge the Holy Spirit if there is this divorce in the church? So that's a question there that I would ask. Is this a third person, or is it something that comes forth out of the Father and enters into His children?
What are you talking about?
Well, you know, again, they're not speaking in accordance with the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about Trinitarians.
Yeah.
The reality is, also, David made a good explanation. The name. Baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, right? Well, it's not the three you're baptized into. It's the name. It's the oneness of God. Yeah. It's like taking on the last name. It's like we're taking on that last name. That's why we're getting sealed. You know, we're being sealed. We're taking on the last name of God, whatever that name might be. It's we're coming in that family name. We're coming into the family. So that's what makes us ask God.
So this, would this be a progression for them to come out of this? Because, you know, there's a lot of people who claim to be regenerated. And they have this oneness doctrine, you know. So how are they just duped? Are they just confused? Are they going to come to the revelation?
It's a spirit, yeah, I believe so. That's the reason that God is bringing the tribulation on, is to shake the church. And he's going to do that, and people are going to come out of that because they're going to understand that all these teachings that they've been listening to by these false prophets are wrong, because all hell's breaking loose all around them, and people are dying, and they're not raptured out of here, for one thing, and the Holy Spirit, they're not protected by Psalms 91 because they don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. You know, and on and on and on. Absolutely. God is going to separate his chosen out of those churches through this this shaking that's coming, whether it be pestilence, whether it be earthquakes, or whether it be a combination of all of it. Mm-hmm. And I believe we're all, you know, I believe God's chosen are going to come out of those types of churches. Look, we've got millions of people in churches here in the United States that are wrong. But we just have to pray for them and pray that God would open up their eyes to see, and he will. That's why he's going to do this tribulation thing. That's why he's going to have this shaking coming, is to open their eyes up. And then this man-child that's going to come on the scene, they're going to listen to him because he's got signs and wonders following him everywhere he goes. He's got wisdom. He's got power. He's got Jesus. He's a walking, talking, living Jesus. And they're going to listen to him.
But wouldn't you say this shaking has already come to, well, for instance, America, on just this 2 years of what the president's been through, and how people all over the world are believing the slander against him and are actually hating him, and they don't even belong to your country. Like, why would a Canadian be promoted to hate, especially since we know what hate can do, even to a believer, in accordance to what it says in Matthew 24:9, you know, that they're gonna deliver each other up. You know, like, who's gonna deliver each other up? This is gonna be people in the church. This hatred has begun, you know. And as for kingdom against kingdom and nation against nation, well, you know, in England they still have a monarchy, and there's kind of unrest over there, over this Robertson guy they have over there. And of course, there is unrest in America too, and it's a nation. There's unrest all through Europe over this immigration thing and other things, the taxes in France, and unrest all through the Middle East and North Africa too. And you got unrest in Russia over the Ukraine, and here we have something is this going to escalate, or is this a prelude to how these nations that. The Golden Head was a nation, the Silver Arms and the Chest were two nations, Medo-Persia, and then there was Greece, symbolized by the brass, and the Rome by the iron legs, and now you've got these clay nations coming into something that was principally in Europe, iron nations, which we're not to have any sort of affiliation with because we're from the kingdom anyway. So we seek ye first the kingdom of the Lord and his righteousness. Mm-hmm. And these clay nations they're trying to mix them together, but they're not going to cleave together. You can just see it right now. And you see some of these nations that are formerly iron nations taking a stance against it for the iron sheet to come in. And then the two elements are going to come in there at the end. These two elements, they have orchestrated a beginning, so kind of like something that's going to destroy the New World Order. Because the two elements, they're not going to cleave together, and they're not cleaving together right now. There are people over there in Great Britain who don't feel as if they're a citizen because of the way they're treated in some of these areas. And that's the beginning of their end, this immigration that was started by these people who had some idea of, for some reason to do this, but it's actually the beginnings of something that's going to be even more in the future. From what I understand, that the clay and the iron are not going to mix. Well, they're going to mix them, but they're not going to cleave one to another. So there you have the beginnings of something that's happening. And you can see that you got nations like Poland, Hungary, Czech, Slovakia, and now Austria and Italy that are coming in. These are all formerly iron nations. You can see that something's on the horizon here. And so I'm just wondering if that's coming to pass now, where we're going to be entering into that tribulation area. Because you can see a little bit of it already starting. Like you got to understand that this doesn't happen overnight. You need some time for things to get set up, and God's probably showing us these little setups for this to happen in the future now, because it's just being fulfilled anyway.
Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
Well, I was going to bring up the verse that was right before what Andrew shared. John 14:25-27, I think. Anyway, these things have I spoken unto you while yet abiding with you. But the Comforter, but the Comforter, even the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said unto you. So right there you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Lord, because he's in my name, he's talking about himself, and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all in that verse, and you see they're different, they're not equal, you know. The Father is going to send the Holy Spirit in his name, you know? So, anyway.
Amen. That's a good one. Yeah, Julie.
The scripture that I was referring to before, I didn't quote it right, but it's Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, and I'll start in 5. It says, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men. But the whole beginning of chapter 2 there is just an example of what humility is, and thinking people, our brethren, better than ourselves.
That's, you know, we're supposed to be lowliness, that's the word, lowliness of mind. And again, that's the working of the Holy Spirit that does that, is we're in obedience to the agape love that God put in us to do that. Yeah, that's all I wanted to share. And I think Joe Britt had his hand up earlier, and I don't know if you saw it, but Michael.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
All throughout Jesus' ministry, he was praying to the Father. Why was he praying to his Father if he was God? If he was just one. I don't understand why he should pray to his Father. God. Everything is prayed to his Father. That's what we also should do.
Amen. Well, he was praying to the Father because he wanted some wisdom, didn't he?
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Joe. You know, his whole ministry here on earth was at first it was overcoming. He overcame, it said. He overcame. He had the trials, but he overcame the trials. And just like he wants us to do. He was an example for us. But he, listen to this, Colossians 1 and 3. Paul says, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And that's all through the New Testament too, by the way. Okay, we're out of time. Sorry. We'll continue again Monday night. Tuesday night, I'm sorry. I get my days mixed up here. Tuesday night we'll continue on with the Trinity. There's a lot of verses in there. Just go get you, if you want to, that's what I did, a nice topical Bible, and just look up Holy Spirit, and it takes you right through all of those verses that y'all have quoted. So, Father, we just thank you again for another night of information and revelation. Lord, we just ask you to continue your work in us, look over us, protect us, and give us a good night's sleep tonight and a good day tomorrow too, Lord. Let the sunshine and the warm weather happen. Well, I'd like to see anywhere from 75 to 85. It don't make me no never mind. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Concerning Saturday night, whether we're still on